But right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good friend Lauren Williams of the AJC, covers the Hawks. Lauren, appreciate you coming on. First one of these official chats of the season. Before we get to the on-the-court stuff, were we able to decipher if whatever was ailing Kristaps Porzingis is related to the illness slash whatever medical issue he was suffering from last season, or are those two completely different things?
From my understanding, it sounds like they're different things, but the person I spoke to didn't really want to, you know, speculate. But from their understanding, it's simply flu-like symptoms, unrelated, but that's kind of where we are.
And for those who aren't familiar, he did have a condition where essentially it slowed him down, made him woozy, made him dizzy at times, and affected his ability to perform on the court. That's from my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've read about of POTS syndrome, it doesn't really go away. It's simply managed. And, but I don't, from my understanding of, you know, conversation that I had, it's flu-like symptoms. And the Hawks will see where he is today.
Okay. So now that we got that sort of business out of the way, what was the difference between game one and game two where the Hawks came out and, I don't know how else to say it, Lauren. You lose by 20 on your opening night. Not exactly the way you want things to go, but a nice bounce back win last night.
For sure. And I think the big thing is that we saw collective execution. When you look throughout the game, you know, there were moments where everybody did something that benefited the cause. You know what I mean? Nobody really got lost in the shuffle of things. You look at the box score, you see what people scored, some of the stats that they had, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. And it paid off in the end. I think we saw a huge game from Muhammad Gay, who did not play in the home opener and was able to take advantage of some open minutes with Kristaps Porzingis out. I think a lot of, you know, Hawks fandom, after seeing him play yesterday, you know, think that he should get some more playing time. It's now a matter of where that may be. And I, you know, pose the question, whose minutes does he get? I think the Hawks really want to continue playing Keaton Wallace because he does give them the benefit of allowing Trae Young to rest. And that's huge. We talk about, yes, the ball handling by committee, but part of that is helping Keaton develop, helping Keaton be able to develop his skills to read and react. And I think that's great. I mean, that's part of what you want to see in the NBA is guys developing, and that, and Keaton is technically a young guy, even at 26, just because, you know, last year was his only rookie year. So I do think that the big thing, though, is that they really slowed down the Magic in transition, and they did a much better job of keeping guys out of the paint. They did have that stretch there in the second quarter where the Magic just went on a 12-4 run, and they were just absolutely killing them in the paint. But they adjusted, and toward the end of the night, you really saw the Magic trying to settle for three-point shots, or they were going to, say, Wendell Carter Jr. low in the post, and the Hawks would either foul him and send him to the free throw line, and the Magic just weren't making free throws last night. So I think that's the big thing. I don't think the Hawks obviously had the strategy to force Wendell Carter Jr. to take free throws, but it worked out in their favor, and here we are. The Hawks are 1-1.
Unfortunately, and it almost seems like year calendar proof, Lauren, and you'll hear exactly what I'm about to say and why. The 3-point shooting just is not there again to start the season. Luke Kennard goes 1-for-5 in the first game, doesn't attempt a 3-pointer last night in 23 minutes. How do you explain it? I don't know what's going on with the Hawks and their ability to shoot from long range.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to figure out. I mean, you have these new guys coming in and their roles have changed from where they were in their previous situations, and they're being asked to do more. So I do think it is fair to give these guys a little bit of grace to sort of find that balancing act of how to expend energy, if that makes any sense. You have Nikhil who, you know, they're asking him to go out and make more plays, not just attacking the rim, but finding others for shots at the basket. You know, we've seen him hit guys with a bounce pass, cutting to the basket. We've seen him find Dyson Daniels a couple times. We've seen him find Jalen Johnson in the preseason a couple times. So I think these guys are really trying to learn what it means to have an expanded role on a roster, and that is going to affect other parts of the game. Now, I think if we're seeing these guys really struggle with shooting, you know, 3, 4, 5 games from now, then I feel like we can, you know, have a little bit of an alarm bell. But I do think that you have to give these guys a little bit more time to gel and kind of figure out how to play with each other and what that means for their own individual games.
We got the world champs coming into town tonight, Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lauren, picking up right where he left off, dropping a 55 spot. He is an incredible player. What do you think their best way is to try to slow him down?
I'm sure they're going to do their best to deploy Dyson Daniels on him, and then there probably is a lot of opportunity to try and throw Nikhil Alexander Walker at him in the mix as well. But I think the big thing with the Hawks is that it has to be a collective effort, because OKC is a very deep team. Yes, we look at you know, their injury report and we see several key guys are either questionable or have already been ruled out, but that doesn't mean that the Hawks have it easy going into this game, just because the OKC Thunder really know how to develop their players. And so I think the big thing is we have to see similar things, but better to what the Hawks did last night. Recognizing coverage is much faster, talking a lot more, you know, rotating in time so that you're not drawing untimely fouls. Obviously, you want to see Jalen Johnson not in foul trouble. And this is a team that does have the ability to sort of bring that out of their opponents. And so I do think that the Hawks are going to have to be committed to communicating with each other, even overly so on the defensive end, so that they don't have any slippages in coverage and they're not letting the Thunder get some easy looks at the basket.
Talking all things Hawks with our good buddy Lauren Williams. Make sure you check out her work in the AJC. Coverage tonight starts at 6:30 here on the game. Starts at 7 o'clock here on the game, pre at 7, tip at 7:30. You mentioned Jalen Johnson. Do you think it's going to take a little bit more time? I know he had a great first game, but for him to sort of reestablish himself as the team's true second option?
No, because I think that even within the flow of the game yesterday, which, yes, it got disrupted by that foul trouble, I think he knows what his role is and he knows what, you know, he needs to do. I think the big thing is that if he's getting the Hawks out in transition, that they're doing everything right on the defensive end to put him in the position to leak out and get to the basket or grab the rebound and push it ahead to guys who are running out in front of him. So I don't think that it's going to take him time. I think we saw it in the first two preseason games that he didn't miss a beat. We saw it again in the season opener that he looked like Jalen Johnson. And so I do think that, you know, the big thing with him is just being smarter on the defensive end, especially knowing your opponent and some of the ticky-tacky things that referees might look for when they're officiating games against certain teams.
While I have you here, you know, you do cover the league day in and day out. How surprised were you at all the news that came out this week about the scandals going on in the association?
I was honestly floored that we're in this position where we're seeing a scandal like this. Obviously, a lot of people can blame the league getting into bed with the sports books, and it does look bad when you have channels promoting sports betting. But I think at the end of the day, these were individual men who made choices, and these choices had, you know, obvious consequences that are pretty major. And I think one of the things that I've seen from a few people, you know, circulating online is that with the league partnering with these sports betting operators, these sports books rather, it was what allowed the FBI and the league to find the irregularities that showed that there was something nefarious happening. And so I think the big thing is that the league just has to continue to be responsible with how it promotes this partnership, how it promotes, you know, that this is now part of the sports landscape. But I think the genie's out of the bottle at this point. You can't put it back in. And so I think that there's just going to have to be, you know, maybe more stringent policies moving forward to try and find ways to stop illegal, you know, gambling operations, which is what this situation is.
Lauren, appreciate the time as always. We'll be checking you out tonight in the AJC after the game, Hawks and Thunder right here on 92.9 The Game. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Chris.